Okay, well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just praise you, we glorify you, and we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to get on this avenue of fellowship. We praise you, Lord, for the work you're doing in us. And Lord, there's a lot of things going on in the world out there. I know you've got your hand on it. And by the prayers of your saints, Lord, this thing's going to come out like it's supposed to. And Lord, we've seen some bad things that may be coming up ahead, but we know that you've got us. You've got us in your hands, Lord, that we don't have to worry about anything. We're in the Psalms 91. We can stay in there and just be safe as a bug in a rug. And Father, we just praise you for all that you're doing out there to bring everything to pass. Lord, I thank you for the things that are going on in our families, Lord. We're seeing some results, finally, of our prayers. And I know that we're seeing it in a lot of people's lives, that their prayers are starting to be answered regarding their loved ones. And we just thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for your healing power on those that are in faith and believing and standing and enduring in their faith for their healing, Lord, and we just praise you for that. We thank you, Lord, for your mighty word that we can trust that you're going to fulfill everything that we prayed for, because we have faith that you've given us, and we walk in it, and we know, Father, that we can trust you to fulfill those prayers of ours. In Jesus' name, Lord, we ask that you be with us tonight. Let this be a time of revelation in your word, a revelation in what's going on out there, and a revelation in what you have promised us, Lord. And we thank you for that. And we thank you, Lord, for everybody that joins us tonight, Lord. We'll be blessed. And we'll have a good time in you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right. So, has anybody got any prayer requests? Testimony or praise report? Yeah, Matt, go ahead, brother.
So I've got a praise report.
Okay.
And I've got a little bit of a testimony, a confession and testimony. But this morning didn't go so well for me. I didn't sleep good last night, and I felt kind of oppressed this morning, and nothing was going right at work. I mean, anything that did go wrong. and it was just going terrible. And but then I cried out to the Lord, and then I was talking with Anna, and talked to her about a few things. Then it was just like this huge weight was lifted off of me. Like something just left. And from that point on, I knew that everything was going to get better. And everything did get better. Everything that went wrong got fixed. And it just went smooth the rest of the day. And my praise report is last week, I think, or the week before, we prayed about, I went for an interview at a job. I worked for a forklift driver, and the supervisor that interviewed me came up to me today and offered me the job for it. So I guess beginning next year, first or second week in January, I'll be a forklift driver.
Yeah, what is it called?
Forklift driver.
Oh, forklift driver. Okay. All right. Praise God. You're going to have fun now, huh? don't be texting and driving. Whatever you do, don't never text and drive with a forklift, because you could find yourself wrapped around a pole inside the warehouse somewhere. Well, hey, that happened in my work. This guy had a forklift full of stuff, and he was going full speed, and he hit one concrete pillar. The concrete pillar didn't give either. Forklift driver stopped quick.
Yeah.
Another one backed out of a truck onto the concrete parking lot. You got to be careful with them things. I'm just saying. You know what I'm talking about. All right. Anybody else? That's a dangerous job. Do you get hazardous pay for that? No? Okay. All right. Anybody else? Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, I just want to join with Matthew in that praise report, because we've been praying for him that would happen. And the other day we were traveling together, and I asked him if he heard back on that job. And he said, yeah, he didn't get it. And we really didn't accept that. We just, you know, I told him that, you know, if God's got other plans, if he's not going to give you that job, but I think you're qualified for it. So we were still believing. So that's answered prayer, really.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Has it got a cab on it with air conditioner and radio?
No, not exactly.
Oh, okay. All right.
These are electric stand-ups.
Okay. Inside ones, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, praise God. Thank you, Lord, for an answer prayer. Amen. I got a testimony too. My daughter was admitted to the hospital yesterday, completely out of her mind. She'd been on meds for a long time for pain and what have you, various and sundry things. And it looked like it finally, she just couldn't cope anymore. And so they took her to the hospital, and they had her at a big hospital in Little Rock. And today, this afternoon, my wife called me, and she was somewhat coherent, my daughter was. And anyway, we were able to pray for her. We prayed, y'all know that when you're on drugs a lot, that it opens a door to a lot of demons. And that's what had happened to her. The demons had just about taken over. And we were able to pray deliverance on her. And after that, we prayed, led her to the Lord. And so I'm just believing that she's delivered, and she's saved, born again, and filled with the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, we prayed that for her too. And so that's my praise report, I guess, for the night. I'm believing that she's coming out of that hospital a new woman. As a matter of fact, the Lord had told me about her, I don't know, a couple of years ago, that she was going to be a mighty woman of God. And I believe it. And also, I don't know if I shared this with you last time, but Blake is also in the Word of God. He ain't got much else to do. He's in a jail cell. And he has the Lord. Well, you know, he's running after the Lord, he said. He called me now, just briefly last night. He couldn't talk for just a few seconds. He said, Papa, I said, I've read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I said, I'm in Acts now. I said, well, praise God. I said, now start doing what it says in there, you know. And so he's running after the Lord, and that's good. So That's my praise report. Anybody else?
Yeah. Michael, what was your daughter's name again?
Her name is Allison.
That's Allison. Okay.
A-L-I-S-O-N.
Okay.
Yeah, I would appreciate anyone praying for her. I'm going to pray for her again. Y'all just believe with me. Father, I thank you for the things that transpired this afternoon. I'm believing, Lord, for a complete deliverance. I'm believing, Lord, that you have saved her and you've infused her with great and bold faith, Father. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Okay. What else is going on here? Missy, did you want to inform us as to what you were talking about earlier? Let me just say one thing. Y'all know, I don't know if you know, but there's a lot of things happening in this country. A lot of things happening for the good. Okay, go ahead, Missy.
Well, if y'all remember, Tuesday Michael said about they're saying the generals are saying that we're going to have martial law after Christmas, and that's where they're going to make all these arrests. And I just saw on this one website called Intel or something. Anyway, it says there's a article from the day. It says, be prepared to be blown away. It says, do you know that Trump already has the money for the wall? Look at the fine print in the last budget for the military. It'll look like a government shutdown, but in reality, it will be 9 days for the new government to take over. Actually, I think it's supposed to be 10 days. Maybe, I don't know. Because I thought when I read it before, it said 10. But anyway, but in reality, it'll be 9 days for the new government to take over. Hilarious. Trump's playing them like fools. 380 Congress will be arrested. And that's what I was figuring. I forgot how many people total in Congress. So it's 435. 380 of 435 is 87%. Of Congress is going to be arrested. Anyway, 380 Congress people will be arrested. Special elections to replace them. 63,000 total arrests to happen. Enjoy the show. The 10 days of darkness will be the last 5 days of December, the first 5 days of January. I have amazing sources. Plus a true patriot Q follower. WWG1WGA means, I forget how it goes. Where we go one, we go all, or something like that. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. P.S. Have 10 days of food, water, and whatever you need to get through. All stores will be closed. One more piece of information. IRS is being shut down for good. Taxes are illegal. There are also two constitutions, one fake and illegal, that we have been living on since 1871. Trump will bring back the original constitution. Many changes are about to happen. Look up the Organic Act of 1871 on federaljack.com. Be prepared to be blown away. And then it says Q Frankie Z. I don't know whatever that means. almost like a name or something. But I thought that was interesting.
I mean, yeah, that goes along with what we've seen on what
doesn't say anything.
Do what?
Go ahead. Well, I was just saying it doesn't say anything about martial law, but that's what's going to happen anyway.
Well, what did it say about the 10 days? Why did it say get get food for 10 days?
But it didn't directly say martial law.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know what that, you know, that's
yeah.
Saying they're rounding up all and everything.
And something else that they said was, don't worry about it. Just kick back, rest in your house. You know, just stay in your house. It's kind of a Passover for us, okay? It's just consider it a Passover. And just wait until this storm is over. And then we'll come back out and everything will be cool. Be a lot better for a little while. For a little while. Yeah, Pat.
I was thinking about that process here for the last couple days, and by the way, Missy, can you post that story or that link that you were just reading from in the chat? And I was thinking about that. Obviously, if martial law is declared and we have 10 days where all of this process is happening, that it is going to be, I'm not sure that it can ever or will ever be back the way it is now, if you know what I mean. I don't think that our constitutional republic, after that sort of situation, will be the same. I'm not sure, you know, like, I guess what I was thinking about is that, practically speaking, if the lights go out for 10 days and then the lights come back on, there is going to be a lot of, we have a lot of bitterness, anger, spirits of rejection, spirits of bitterness, unforgiveness, a lot of demonic influence in the leadership in this country. And when you remove that, those that are in the population out there, how, in other words, how do you come back to, say, a constitutional republic and those people that are caught in this demonic bitterness stronghold? How do they come back? How do they then trust the institution or the constitutional? How do they trust Trump then at that point? You see what I'm saying?
Well, I understand what you're saying. Here's why the martial law is in place, because we do understand that they're under, that they are demonically controlled. And during martial law, you can't just show yourself out there and start yelling at people. They'll shoot you. You understand what martial law is. You can't go just where you want to go. You can't do the things that you want to do. That what that means is that Trump has absolute power. Absolute power. That nobody is over him, under, you know, everybody's under him. He's like an absolute monarch. He has absolute power, but his quest is to return us to that constitutional republic of 1776. Like Missy was talking about there in that article, we've been under another constitution, an incorporated constitution that was put into play back in 1871. which is an outlaw type of constitution for this United States. And back in last couple of years, I think, Trump, they passed a law, wrote it into law, not Trump, but, oh gosh, it was back during Bill Clinton's term, back in the 90s. They passed a law back then declaring that this is a constitutional republic, and what they were under was illegal, and that they could arrest people that were treasonous against this constitutional republic. But the deep state was in control. They knew they were in control. And so they quashed that thing. And I wish I had the link to put it up there so you could go and check that out. But anyway, Trump is aware of all of this, and there's going to be, like we talked about, it's going to be absolute chaos for about 7 days. But we'll still be under martial law. There's not going to be a whole lot of chaos. I mean, once they figure out that they can't just go out there and act a fool, you know, and just holler and scream and tear up things, so they can't do that. The military is going to be in control. Trump and the military is going to be in control. What has brought this about is the military is the one that brought Trump into this presidential race to begin with. They went and asked him if he wouldn't run, the Patriots I'm talking about. From what I understand, you know, I don't know this is a fact, but that's from all of the insight that we can see, that looks like it's what's happened. And so he was brought on board to do this exact same thing that Andrew Jackson did back in when he was president. Go ahead, Tim. I hang on, Pat. Let me see what Tim wants right quick.
I just wanted to tell Pat something that I read quite a few months ago concerning all this, and that is that after the martial law is done and the house cleaning is complete and stuff, I don't know if it's the Constitution or if it's just the plan, but the plan is apparently that Trump will at that time step down, either let Pence take over or have another election, and he'll be done. He'll have finished his job, and he'll go back to being Mr. Businessman and give us back our republic. But he won't be back. He won't still be in power once the martial law is done, is the way I understand it.
Yeah, I don't know how much longer after the martial law. I believe he'll be there until the new elections anyway, because there's going to be 75% is a figure that I keep seeing of the Congress is going to be taken out. They'll be Gitmo refugees, okay? I don't know, whatever. But anyway, that's what we're looking at. Okay, Pat, you got anything else?
No, the only thing I would say, it's not that I disagree with what is going to happen, because I think that's the only way that it really can happen. I just, but thinking that, you know, after 10 days, all is going to be a bed of roses and life is going to be great. And we're going to go back to work and we're going to, you know, carry on life. Life as we know it will be radically changing. And I don't think that it is going to put a major hit on the deep state, but that it isn't going to kill them, so to speak. And they're not going to lie down. And in other words, I think we, if anything, we will probably get closer to actual civil war. But I may be wrong now.
Well, when you understand what martial law is, there's not going to be anybody going to be able to do anything other than do what the military tells them to do. Because, you know, I understand that the military can't be all over the place. They're going to be hitting the blue states, okay? I'm sure of that. I'm almost certain of that. They're going to be in the blue areas mostly. And then you're going to have local police and all of that involved as well. But I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see. I do believe, like you said, I do believe there's going to be a lot of chaos at first until they understand that these guys mean business. They're going to get rid of all of the corruption and all of the stealing and thievery that this deep state people have. Look, when you've got $21 trillion missing from an audit that they just found, they couldn't go any further in the Pentagon, in the Defense Department, because it was so convoluted the way they had accounting done. Then they did that for a reason. That was to hide money. That was to hide money. That's a deep state. $21 trillion gone. Don't even know where it's at. There's something wrong with the system. And that's what Trump wants to do. He wants to take the government and give it back to the people. That's his job right now. And I believe the Lord is behind it because of one thing. He told us that we're going to have at least 3.5 years of virtual safety because of it. But then after that, you know what's going to happen after that. The last 3.5 years is not going to be good. Even the first 3.5 years, naturally speaking, is going to be a lot of chaos because of the natural disasters and the seals are going to be broken and all that. It's going to be a tough time. It's going to be a good times too, because a man child will be here. Praise God. And the bride will be in place. A lot of people will be coming into the refuges. All right. Anybody got any question? I don't know that I have an answer, but somebody probably does. Leon looks like he's a man of knowledge. Y'all ask him. I know he does look, he knows a lot. I'm looking forward to it. Here's something else. The IRS is going to be done away with. It's gone. 17% flat tax on new stuff, not including food and pharmaceuticals and doctors and stuff. No used stuff's going to be taxed. It's just going to be a flat rate of 17% according to what we see. But the Fed will be down the tubes. Federal Reserve, it'll be down the tubes. And they're going to what they call what's the name of that thing, Leon?
Quantitative easing?
No, it's the name of the
reevaluation.
Hush, Pat, I'm trying to think. It's QFS, I believe. Quantitative. I don't remember. What is it, Denny? Oh, man. but anyway, it's a new system that's based on a lot of plastic, mostly plastic. But it's all going to be gold back. It's all going to be gold back. They're getting out of the Fed. Do y'all understand how the Fed works? If you understand how the Fed works, you understand that it's an outlaw system. They take the money that we send in, okay, to the government. We send in to the government, and the Feds take that money, charge us to give it back to them. Maybe they give it back. and the bankers all make their money off of us. Well, what's wrong with that little program there? That's a Ponzi scheme if I ever saw one. And I don't even know what a Ponzi scheme is, but it sounds good. Yeah. All right. Anybody? It's going to be, I believe it's going to be an awesome time for God's people. Because I believe it is. I really do. Because I believe that the man child will be birthed. He'll be doing his thing. And we're going to see some stuff. I truly believe that. It's that cartoon Tracy's got up there. I can't see it. Okay. All right. Anybody else got anything they'd like to talk about, something, comment on? Anything else in the news?
I have one on Canada again, and maybe we're going to ask Andrew a little bit about this, but I just saw it today, and it said that Trudeau is saying their Canada is going to start offering its 50,000, whatever your currency is, it's equivalent to 40,000 American dollars to every immigrant that comes into Canada. They're going to start doing that. And I'm not sure if the parliament, is there a parliament that has to pass that as well? Or, but they said that's what he was going to start doing. Isn't that crazy? To try to get immigrants to come into Canada. Of course, they want to get this whole Islamic thing in there, but.
I have no idea about it.
Okay. I just saw it today, and I mean, it's got to see if it's really true, first of all. Pardon?
But Danny, does that include anybody that goes up there? Because me and you, we could pull our resources and go up there, get that 50 grand and come on back, couldn't we?
Yeah. I don't know how they're going to determine that, but I, you know.
We could cut up a sheet, make a, yeah. Make a, what you call it?
Well,
be a
they want people that are going to freeload and rape the women and steal and beat people up. That's what, you know, if you can do that.
Well,
thank you. Yep. Well, we just pray for Canada right now. We continue to lift them up to you. And God, if that's true, we just pray that you would intervene and prevent this. God, you would stop this from happening and let bring that man to his senses and let the people rise up and protest, God, and let their voices be heard, God. The yellow vests be heard in Canada strongly, Lord. We pray that they would not come under the UN agenda. That would be prevented in the name of Jesus. And we just thank you, Father. And deal with Trudeau, Lord. Just I pray you to deal with that man. Correct him, Father. Bring correction to him. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, you know, Macron over there in France is in trouble too. But people don't want him in there. And Trudeau keeps on. The same thing will happen up there. They're retaliating all over Europe right now. Germany. France, Italy, all of them. Most of them, I should say.
All I know is his ratings are lower than they've ever been.
I don't doubt that.
By the people.
He's truly loved of the people, huh?
No, his ratings are low. That's all about it. You know, it's very true. Like, I went to work and I asked the people about the Yellow Jackets here in Ottawa, and they didn't even know anything was going on. They live in the same city, and they actually had Antifa, and I was going, well, what is Antifa in Canada for? You know, and that was a shock to me when I saw that. And there was 9 arrests right on Parliament Hill because they were protesting against the Yellow Jacket people. And I don't know if all the 9 arrests were Antifa people. It's it's not in the real news, so I can't really tell whether they were all the Antifa people, but it looked like it in the video. So that was that.
Oh, I'm sorry, Andrew. Yeah, they bring them in, so then the whole thing can get violent and ugly, and then they write it in the paper. See how terrible this yellow jacket thing is, you know, this yellow vest thing is. They're all, you know, it's all but violent.
It was only the other guys that were arrested.
It's the other ones that the Soros is bringing in that's doing it.
Yeah, so it failed. I don't know.
Yeah, Leon, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I beat you, Leah. You gotta be faster. You know, we have authority, and that's what we've got to really see our authority in, and kind of how God wants us to pray in this thing and knock this thing down. You know, just demonic spirits and principalities, you know, we're dealing with, and so we got to use that authority. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Go ahead, Leah.
If everybody knows this, but Trudeau is he's the Castro's son, Fidel Castro's son. If you Google Trudeau and Castro, they'll bring up pictures of them side by side. They'll bring up pictures of Mrs. Trudeau in camp in Cuba, holding a baby, which is your current prime minister, and it's speculated that he is Castro's son. Just a little thing for you, a little tidbit for your knowledge.
Amen. Okay, anyone else? Go ahead, George, from the great state of Maine.
Yes, sir, the unfrozen chosen.
Go ahead, brother. I feel your pain.
I'm just thinking that many times when, I mean, our side have, it's been decades since any white hats in America have had anything to celebrate, really. And there's such a surge of a groundswell of grassroots movement type good feelings on our side. I say our side just, you know, as a generic statement, but there's also a lot of pride that could come in with that, and a lot of offense, because we're still talking about half the country that is gender confused and very deep rooted liberal, and when all of their heroes are hauled off, the cognitive dissonance of being able to understand and believe the truth, their brains are pretty much just going to shut down as far as you know, the spiritual deception that's already on that group of people. And I would say we need to be praying for some very strategic, humble leaders who can speak to these people and with meekness explain to them, you know, what has happened, what directions things might be moving in, or even a spiritual. You think about when 9/11 happened, how there was a spiritual awakening for a brief moment in this country, but then the cabal took away so many rights with the Patriot Act and the airport security and everything else. And I see an opportunity for, you know, there's the same kind of thing where we miss an opportunity for an actual spiritual awakening, because there's such a spirit of patriotism that takes the energy away from God getting the glory for a lot of this. So, you know, I can see how the institutional church that is so heavy military-minded and rooted in tradition and things that just leave faith out of it, that they will be, you know, draping themselves in the flag. You won't be able to hear much of a spiritual message if, like I said, that, you know, I don't know how to say, I'm not placing myself saying it's my side's winning or whatever, but obviously there's some serious evil on the other side of this battle. And you think about it, if America is having this type of revival, there's obviously, you know, ruling families and bloodlines ingrained in all these other countries that is either going to be rooted out or they're just going to lie in wait and infiltrate, you know, both sides. You just never know. So, like I said, I think we need to really be doing some strategic praying that if there's an opening, if there's a window of light on the world, that we need to pray that the true leaders who can do good will go immediately to the worst places like Yemen, where people are starving to death, Venezuela, where people are starving to death, some of these places like South Africa, where the corruption is unbelievable. We need to pray that the light will blast open corridors of freedom so that the world and the people can migrate where they need to migrate and have the freedom to hear the prophetic voice and go to places of safety, to refuges, so that when the darkness, you know, when the pendulum might swing the other way, that they have escaped the worst judgments and not group themselves in with, you know, a people who were not hearing the voice of God. So I think just, you know, we can't just be swept away in euphoria because something good might happen for a season. We need to press in even more. It's in the good times and the fat times that we need to be more on guard than ever. I'll let you guys take it from there.
Amen. I agree. Go ahead, Pat.
George just said exactly what I was feeling. What I was thinking is that after this sweep comes through and our constitutional republic is reestablished and set back at a foundation, there's going to be a tremendous amount of confusion and a tremendous spiritual vacuum that's going to be in existence. And I feel like what George is saying is that there has to be a people prepared to go in and fill that vacuum, the Spirit of the Lord, and bring the truth and the reality of the Lord and the Holy Spirit and the our confidence in the Word and confidence of hearing His voice and His guidance and bringing the true gospel in this time to fill that spiritual vacuum. Because things are going to be derailed, and I believe it'll be hard for some people to grasp the reality of the experience they're in at that time. I know that my wife always says that it seems like the Lord has always had me on a prophetic bent to where I have always been extremely interested in the things that are coming or that sort of thing. And so obviously you tend to get a little bit, you grow into the understanding that certain things are going to come down the line and that you follow that track and the Lord leads you to clearer understanding and whatnot through the process, so that you're able to acclimate yourself to what is going to happen. And obviously that process leads you to other truth, so that you can know how to latch onto the Lord and depend upon His supply and that whole process. But when this thing happens, you're going to have a whole society of people that are not going to have their spiritual foundation or, you know, their bearings in this thing. And it'll be, I think it's going to be a roller coaster ride. And I really believe that, like George says, we have to stand up not only and pray for them, but pray for us, that we, that I and you and all of us that are walking with the Lord can be able to respond and relate in that coming time. So praise the Lord.
Amen. Yep, I believe that. But I also believe that God's judgments are going to come in during this time, because of the words that we've been getting in our morning prayer group. A lot of them in last week especially, we had a lot of words. God's judging His church first. He's fixing to judge His church. And along with the good, you know, you get the bad too. And the shaking, I believe, is fixing to start. I don't know that, but I'm just saying. And both of you are right. We need to be praying that we focus our attention on the important things. And the important things is the Lord Himself and people coming to the Lord. Y'all know as well as I do, we've got 90% of the church world in the United States are in the patriotic, they have a patriotic spirit that drags them away from the Lord in many ways, many ways. In fact, if you'll go in there, you know, you'll see the American flag and then the church flag, whatever that is, you know. When actually we're not of this world, we're, of course, from the kingdom of God. And I believe that George and Pat both are right about we need to be praying that God's people would get their eyes on Him, and that even during this so-called good times happening, it's going to be bad times as well, because of the chaos and stuff that's going to be happening. Go ahead, Andrew.
There's a bit of a word here in 1 Peter 4:17. There's some really good stuff here in chapter 4 about the nations. And you just said that right now. For the season is come for the judgment to begin at the house of God. And if first at us, what the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? You know, there's some real basic teachings that they don't obey, you know, like, and these people, they know better. They know that this is in a teaching, even if, you know, it's like they got rid of the law. Even, you know, they have no respect for God's law, you know. And, you know, Moses and Elijah, you know, Moses was a lawman, you know, and I'm not trying to put anyone under the law or say that I'm under the law, but, you know, if they're going to change laws, like it says in the word, that's wrong. You know, you can't go completely in the opposite direction and change stuff around like that. You know, we have a lot of good examples with Elijah and John the Baptist, you know, and that's what you're supposed to be doing too, is getting the word out to people about the kingdom, you know, coming and seek ye first the kingdom of the Lord and his righteousness. But what kind of word do we have for Moses, you know? What should we be reading about Moses and studying? Now, he did tell Moses that he was going to raise up another one like him, you know, and it says that a little bit in Hebrews chapter 8 there, you know, and there is a covenant that we have, you know, and people are going to have to be reminded of that covenant that he's going to put the law, you know, with the word on their hearts. For some of these people, he's going to have to. For some of them need this now because they're not obeying. You know, they're not loving God. See, if it's love instead of law, then that's what they need. And for this is the love of God that we keep his commandments. It doesn't say law there. And, you know, I wonder if that's another Mosaic witness that's supposed to come to show how this law is supposed to be something in love, you know, because the for whatsoever is coming, you know, and that for whatsoever is born of God is in your soul. And you need some action of love there. To take in those things that you all know about God's word when it comes to law. You see, I know that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. But there is a righteousness in the law that you go through Romans chapter 7 to get to that final point there. You know, the law is holy. Ye shall be holy. As I am holy, Jesus said. And you have to arrive at that point in the end, you know. And there's some fear of God for that, you know. And it's a little bit shaky when I think about that, you know. To have that always automatic realization of what God wants for you, you know. Sometimes you might mess up a little bit in something and you go, oh man, my mind's wandering into other places and I'm not focused as I should be. And you start thinking, well, maybe I should have to do something or something. But it's what you have to do is you have to brush up on your faith there, I think, and just have it come through, you know, to just have that rest and confidence in the Lord to fulfill these things. That's, you know, I sometimes wonder about, you know, do you get the Elijah and Moses together as the witness, or is it more Elijah than Moses? But Moses had some really hard times with his people in the wilderness. And it was passed on to Joshua even after, you know, with people like Achan and, you know, it's we have to look at a parallel here for this kind of thing. And there's lots of different parallels from all the past things in the Old Testament. And there is a spirit in the law to make you holy, I think. And that spirit is Jesus Christ. You know, if we receive the blessings of Abraham in Christ Jesus, should we not receive the same from Moses too? These would be a blessing to follow God's word from the law. You know, it's his word. It's where he sets down a precedent, you know. And you read the Proverbs, and he's constantly saying to his son, you know, look to the testimonies, look to his word, you know, and that was written in the time of law, but now we have to realize that that's a time of agape love and grace for us, and people are not approaching it that way, you know. And again, in chapter 4, you know, it's talking about in 1 Peter 4 and 3, for the time past may suffice to have wrought the desire of the nations. Well, you know, what does it say about the nations in Matthew 24 and 9? You know, and these desires here are, they're completely around the fruits of the flesh there. And it's a little scary. So, but I do have a question on, because this is the book, the letter I just finished reading. And my question is 1 Peter 4 and 5, who shall give account to the one ready to judge the living and the dead? Is that a question? Is that a question put forth of who will do this? Because the very next verse after this is 6, sort of says that men in the flesh out of, but live according to God in the Spirit. So is that the answer to the question in 5? If 5 is a question. Because, you know, the two verses go together. Who shall give account of the one ready to judge the living and the dead? For to this end was the gospel preached also to the dead, that they might be judged indeed according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. Is that man who is a flesh and blood person who's living in the Spirit there making this judgment call? That's my question. 2. First of all, I want to know if verse 5 is a question, and is this man in who's in the flesh but lives according to the Spirit making a judgment call, not as a judge, but to have it correctly with the Lord in accordance to these lascivious lusts, wine-bibbers, revelers, carousers, and abominable idolatries. Because we need to have a temple and not an idol. You know, and I'm sure you can find an opposite for all those negative things there. Anyway.
All right, who's got the answer? Is that you, Tim?
I don't know if I got the answer, but I got an idea on the answer. I went back to the beginning of chapter 4, and it says to arm yourselves also with the same mind. It's the mind of Christ. And if you look at it in that perspective, I don't believe that it is a question. It is that the mind of Christ, this Holy Spirit in us, will be capable, once our obedience is made perfect, to sit in judgment of those that are doing and walking in lasciviousness. And through Christ, not through our own works, but through the Spirit of Christ. I think Paul did that several times in the Gospels, turning sinners over to Satan and stuff like that. And that's what I see in that that whole chapter 4, is that the mind of Christ is able to judge.
Amen. Anybody else? Anybody got any comments on those scriptures, or those two scriptures? Uh-oh, Andrew's getting his notes out. We're in trouble now. Well, like Tim was talking about, go back to the front and see what he's talking to the subject of it. He that suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that you no longer should live the rest of your time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. What do you think, Denny? You're going to have to unmute yourself.
I'm looking at it too just now.
Okay. Leah, you got anything? Okay. Pat.
Can I just read it?
Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
Verse 1. For as much then as Christ suffered in the flesh, arm ye yourselves also with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin.
Okay, hang on. All right, now here's the question. With the same mind of what?
Same mind as of Christ?
Okay, all right, go ahead.
That ye no longer should live the rest of your time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past may suffice to have wrought the desire of the Gentiles, and to have walked in lasciviousness, lusts, wine-bibbings, revelings, carousings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them into the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you.
Okay. Hang on. Okay, what's he talking about in verse 3 there? For the time past, what's he saying? May suffice to have wrought the desires of the Gentile, and to have walked in lasciviousness, lust, wine bibbing, revelings, carousings, abominable idolatry. Before he had the mind of Christ, maybe, huh? Okay. Where, because his buddies out there, they think it's strange that he don't run with them anymore. Go ahead, Pat.
But they will give, let's see, in verse 4, it says, in all this, they are, oh, just a minute, I flipped over to another version, I'm sorry.
Okay, that's okay.
Wherein they think strange that you run not with them in the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you, who shall give account of to him that is ready to judge the living and the dead.
Okay. Who is him? Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the living and the dead?
Obviously, that would be the Lord, correct?
Okay. What do y'all think? What do you think, Andrew? Or anybody, as far as that goes. Yeah, Leah.
But who's the one giving the account? Like, who shall give account to the one ready to judge the living and dead? Now, it's definitely not the one who's speaking evil. So who gives this account to the one ready to judge the living and the dead?
It is the ones that are doing evil. They have to give an account.
They're going to give an account of their carousing, lasciviousness, and wine bibbers.
Yeah, okay. They have to give account of why they didn't access the mind of the Lord and live righteous. They have to give account for that. And they're not going to be able to give account.
To him. Who's him? That's Christ, right?
Yeah, they can't justify. It's just like the bema seat of Christ with the sheep and the goats. You did all this stuff for me. You did it unto the least of these, my brethren. You did it unto me. You know, you're the sheep. Now you go to the goats. How can they give account? Well, we didn't know. Yeah, you did. You knew. You knew. How can you account for that? So I believe he's really asking a rhetorical question. And
But is six the answer to that question? Because he says there, for to this end was the gospel preached also to the dead, that they might be judged indeed according to men in the flesh. Right. But live according to God in the spirit.
Yeah. Well, in the Sheol, there was Abraham's bosom, and then there was hell or Hades. And you went to that according to your righteousness. You know, if you lived for the Lord in under the law, you went to Abraham's bosom. But if you rejected the word of the Lord, you went to Hades. So Jesus went and preached salvation by grace to those people that were in Abraham's bosom, because they were kept there because they couldn't go to heaven. They weren't righteous in God's eyes until the Lord went and preached to them. And that's when he set the captives free. When he preached to them, they understood it wasn't by the law. It was by grace, you know, and they had lived a righteous life, though, under the law. But then they understood grace and were able to go to heaven with the Lord, or to paradise, as he told the thief on the cross. Today you'll be with me in paradise. But they got an understanding of that with the preaching of Jesus to the dead. But the people in Hades, remember that Lazarus and the rich man, they both died, and Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom, and the rich man was in Hades, but they could hear each other across that great gulf. They couldn't physically cross that gulf. To the righteous in Abraham's bosom, they was in hell also, and they couldn't give an account. And that's the thing I think he's saying. You got to be able to give an account to the one who judges. That's just my take on it.
What's the matter? I'm a mouthful. Well, what do you think, Andrew? Pat? Tim? Anybody?
I had this thought that in verse 6, for unto this end was the gospel preached even to the dead, that they might be judged indeed according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit.
So who are those men in the flesh? That was my secondary question, like who are these men in the flesh that are judged indeed according to the men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit? Who are these men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit? Because it's got to be more than one man. But there is more than one man in a corporate body.
Thank you, Lord. Father, would you give us wisdom to understand and perceive your words as you've spoken them to Peter, and give us understanding that we may perceive the truth. We thank you for the Holy Spirit you've given us to guide us into that truth. And Lord, we're just asking you to open up our eyes tonight, give us ears to hear, and that we might understand and apply these words to our life, and we might understand. Would you just give Andrew wisdom, Lord, to see and perceive these things in Jesus' name.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Doesn't this say, we had Tim.
No, you go ahead, Danny. You probably got a lot more insight than I do.
Doesn't it talk in the scripture about those who lived on the earth before the law was given? You know, that God is giving them a chance to hear the gospel. And he went down and he preached the gospel to those in that were before the law, you know, and then they would make their decision based on faith, you know, and so that's possible.
Could be.
I had this thought that when I was reading that, it says, "For unto this end was the gospel preached, even to the dead, that they might be judged." And I get the thought that came to me was the gospel, which is preached and received by those willing to receive it, it is life. But to those that do not receive it and reject it, it brings death. And it is, I guess, I'm thinking that it, the gospel not only has to be received, but there's probably a point where those that are going to reject it have to reject it, have to, you know, it's not like, I think it's kind of like God kicking you off the fence. You're either going to believe or you're not going to believe. But if you're not going to believe, then you have to, it's like, well, I don't know. I guess I'm, forget it. I'm going down a track. I'm just thinking, it was just, it's important for those that are going to reject it, to reject it and take responsibility for their rejecting of the word, as well as just as it is for us who receive the word. It's important that we receive it, accept it, acknowledge it, and walk in it. So that was all I had to say.
Okay. Could it also be, and let me just throw this out there. Can y'all hear me? Could it also be who shall give account to, I'm going to five, who shall give account to him, Jesus, that is ready to judge the living and the dead, the lost and the Christians, okay? For unto this end was the gospel preached, even to the dead. That's the lost. Let's see, I'm just throwing it out there, okay? To the lost now, I'm talking about this day. That they might be judged indeed according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. That's the Christian, right? That's the disciple. That's the one that's walking in God's ways. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore of sound mind and be sober unto prayer. Above all things, being fervent in your love among yourselves, for love covereth a multitude of sin, da 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 da. So could it not also be talking about today, spiritually speaking, people who are dead? No.
I think it's explaining how it is that we separated ourselves from that dead group. It starts off, I mean, I know these chapters were, you know, a continuation of other verses, but chapter 4 starts off saying that Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourself also with the same mind, that he that suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that ye no longer should live the rest of your time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. Now that's telling who we are and how we're to act, but then it's showing that there was a group of Gentiles that are still running just like they've always ran, and maybe we once were part of that group, but now we've been called out and separated and given this mind of Christ. And I don't think it's asking a question of who shall give an account. It's saying that in other translations, I've looked at it in about 7 different translations, and this is the only one that even asks, that has the word who. The rest of them are just point blank saying they will be judged. And I guess that's about all I'm getting from all this. But as far as it's kind of a determination that all of these that walk after that lifestyle are going to be judged. And the quick and the dead, like you're saying, we've had the gospel preached to us. Now, if we go back and live a lascivious life, then we can be judged after men, and maybe our spirits would be saved, but our flesh would be put to death. You know, there is a turning over to Satan to save the spirit and save the soul. For a carnal Christian, I would say. Maybe that has something to do with those verses. I'll give it back to y'all.
I just seen the word here in 6 that they might be judged. That doesn't say that they would be judged. So, and another verse just popped into my head from Romans 14:13, where it says, let us not judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way, you know. So I guess I just got my answer two ways from this might, because a man in the spirit can't really judge another man. So it's up to the Lord to do the judging. But we have the mind of Christ to think like the Lord. So we might be able to judge what is being done or said, what we see in action that's wrong, or a word that's wrong, but we judge it for our own vessels. That's what I'm getting out of this now. So that it coincides with what has just been spoken of it, because we don't live in the abominable adulteries anymore and all the other stuff. So a man who lives according to the Spirit makes this judgment call, but he doesn't do the actual judging. The Lord does that at the end. You know, just like he says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. So the way I read it, because of this word might, you know, that doesn't mean that a person who is according to God in spirit would judge another one, because even if you got what's at the beginning of Romans there in chapter 14, it says there that Jesus is the one who judges his servant, and we don't. So, but the more mature person should be able to see if something is said that's wrong and speak up, as it says in 14:13 of Romans. And if I still have it in my mind, right, anyway, let us therefore not judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. And that's how we spiritually judge, but those who are in office are the ones who would make that assessment if any man is putting a stumbling block. And we know of a lot of stumbling blocks in the nation and in the world and amongst unregenerated people. So that's how we have to take into account for your own vessel, as well as those who you're responsible for, like children, you know, family that are under you, and of course, in a place like this, you know, it would be always right to try and correct someone before they go wrong, too far wrong. So that's a place where you have to be careful if it's a brother. And anyway, I think it has a lot to do with Romans 14 too. I'm sufficed with the answer that I got. And thank you for clearing that up, because I just read this First Peter book, and I'm going to go over it again and read it again.
Okay, Tim's got some more clarification here. Go ahead, Tim.
I don't know if I'm going to muddy the waters or clarify things, but there's a couple of things. And the first off is, I don't want to, you know, get into dispute over interpretation, but it seems that might in 1900, when this was translated, I don't think that it was a either or type of a verb. I think that I can't think of any times in the Bible where there's an option. It's usually if you do this, or and, or shall. It's not a maybe thing, which is kind of what our modern interpretation of might would read, was, well, maybe they'll be judged. I think that it should, you know, more that the word might would be there's a right to judgment. It will happen. And then the other thing that came to mind was in Matthew 10, 33, I guess, or 32 and 33, whoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father. And so I was thinking that, you know, people are given the souls are given a chance to either confess or deny the Lord in Hades or Abraham's bosom or wherever they're parked, the ones that weren't taught the gospel. They're enlightened to the Lord's presence, what he's done, and you can either accept it or deny it. And that's what came to my mind. Like I said, I don't know if it muddied the waters or what, but that's where I'm at.
Yeah, go ahead, Pat.
A while back, I don't remember when it was, but I was caught on that word might as well. It was in other verses, which I can't remember where they were at right now. But as I was thinking about it, obviously God, there's no question in God's mind if he either does or doesn't, is or isn't, you do or don't. But when the word might is used, it's not a reference to, I think what the way I understood it is that there, it's not an option, but it is the entrance or the introduction of a choice that an individual has to respond or not to respond to any given situation. And when that word might is used, it's not that God has any question or has any weakness relative to being able to perform or anything. It's the fact that there's an introduction of us or we or mankind or something into the mix that requires either a decision or something of that fact. And that's why it says, for unto this end was the gospel preached even unto the dead, that they might be judged. And might meaning that if they don't respond to the truth, they certainly will. But if they do respond to the truth, they won't. So there's a might provided in there to indicate that person has the choice to change that outcome. So that's kind of what I was thinking when I saw that word.
Okay, anybody else? By the way, that word's in the numerics too.
Right, so it's either by God's might or by man's might. That's what you're saying, Pat.
Do you mean might as in power?
Yes.
Oh, no, I was meaning might as being can be or cannot be or will be or will not be. Might be meaning that there's an option or a choice that you either will or you won't, or you will do or you won't do. Meaning the outcome is optional, so to speak, depending upon a person's choice. It might, in other words, the end might turn out to be that way, but it depends upon what the individual's choice is. I wasn't thinking that it is a word indicating power.
Okay. Anybody else? I don't think it's a word of power either. I think it's let's read on here, that they might be judged indeed according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. And then he goes on to admonish us to encourage us to, but the end of all things is, hand, be ye therefore of sound mind and be sober unto prayer. Above all things, being fervent in your love among yourselves, among all the Christian brothers and sisters, for love covereth a multitude of sin. What say ye? If you go back in the commentaries, I looked at a couple of them. They're all over the place, according to those words. Some of them were talking like Leon was talking, which, you know, it could be too. And also we're talking like the rest, you know, some of us were talking as well. So it's where you are. What do y'all think? What's the consensus here? How many of you? No, we're not going to do that. Democratic way of interpreting the Bible. You know, while we've been doing this, I've been thinking, how many times have you gone over a scripture and it meant something to you and you understood it? And then some time later, you were in another realm, so to speak, and that same scripture meant something else to you. So it's where you are. It's what God wants you to know at the time, I guess. Not all. Yeah, Matt, go ahead.
Sorry, I don't mean to run my mouth, but I was just looking.
Oh, yes, you do.
I probably
do. Go ahead, Pat.
In Matthew 12, it says, and Jesus perceiving whatever, I didn't read what was before, but in 15, verse 15, it said, and Jesus perceiving it withdrew from thence, that and many followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken through Isaiah the prophet, etc. Behold my servant whom I have chosen, etc. So Jesus said, charge them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken. It just seems like it's always that word might is connected to a deed or something beforehand happening or not happening. So I was looking for the scripture that I was searching for, the one that I was previously reading. And boy, there's a lot of them in there. Pharisees went out and straightway with the Herodians took counsel against him, how they might destroy him. You know what? I'm rambling. I'll shut up and let it go.
Yeah, go ahead, Tim.
Well, from just those couple examples that Pat gave, seems like in every instance you could almost substitute wood, the WOULD, for the word might, and have the same connotation as you're reading along. I don't know, and it might be that that's kind of what I was reading might as in our verse there in First Peter, as a wood, as an absolute thing that's going to come to pass.
Okay.
I got a different type of question for us.
Okay. I'm ready.
looking into Matthew 21 and thinking about how we're on the verge of the wedding feast, how the end times that we're living in, that we believe we're, you know, at that point. And Matthew 22:8, he says, "Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they that were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore unto the partings of the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage feast. And those servants went out into the highways, gathered together all, as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was filled with guests. Now then the king comes, finds ones without a garment, casts them out, and there'll be gnashing of teeth and all that." But I thought it was very interesting that they found both bad and good, and they filled the wedding with guests. And I'm trying to wrap my head around, if we are at the wedding feast and we are maybe we're the servants that are helping to gather, and we're, you know, pulling them in, the harvest is coming any which way. Bad and good is what I kind of couldn't turn loose, and I'd be interested to see what that might mean to you all.
Okay, anybody got any answers?
Yeah, I remember that reading that in one of David's books, and he said that bad and good was Jews and Gentiles. I don't know which, I guess, well, it was Jews and Gentiles, or Gentiles and Jews, for the bad and good, which was which, I'm not sure. That's what he said.
Okay. There you go, George, straight from the horse's mouth. Not that you're a horse, Debbie.
You mean David's mouth, he's a horse.
David, yeah, okay. Yeah.
I don't mind that. That's fine. But I had a feeling, too, that perhaps to help keep people from getting yanked out of that feast, that maybe we can be busy about helping clothe and get people clothed with garments up to that point. You know what I mean? Help them find those acts of righteousness and lead them into being clothed.
Looks like a revival, doesn't it?
It'll definitely get your eyes off yourself and want to help everybody around you.
Mm-hmm. And those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. Amen. Anybody got something else on that? Peel it away, boys and girls. Where's this? Yeah, Andrew, go ahead.
Can you answer a parable with another parable?
Go ahead. We'll try it.
There's Matthew 13 and 24. The field with the good seed and the bad seed. You know, these bad folks are going to be bound in this one, and they're going to be bound in this one here. So if these guys don't get any good seed, then I guess they're going to be thrown out, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, remember what happened. Let's see. I think it's in where were we here? Where was the one that you had?
13:24 is the sower, where they wanted to pull out the bad people, the tares, but he said, no, let both grow together. So yeah. Did those two collate?
Maybe. Let's see, what was the one we started with? Matthew 24?
22:8.
Matthew 22:8.
To 14, I guess. He mentioned both bad and good. So I'm just trying to clarify this answer that was said, that one was the Jews and the other was the, I forget what she said, actually.
The Jews and the Gentile.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Tim. Tim's got the answer.
Oh, I've come to muddy the waters again.
don't do that.
I was reminded of the verse that there is none good but God. So maybe we're all the bad are being gathered, but the good are good by grace and accepted that way, you know, wearing the wedding garments and stuff. But I thought of that before I heard Debbie's explanation, but that's just what came to my mind.
Okay.
Does this mean we all have to dress up next time?
Oh, yeah, we got to come with a righteous act, so. Let's see, we're on Matthew 22:10. And those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all, as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was filled with guests. What was the wedding? Let's go with that. Come on now.
Again, can we answer a parable with a parable? There was a wedding feast with five foolish virgins and five wives. They were all guests, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so.
What's the wedding? Go ahead, Missy. I know you got the answer.
I think I do. Well, it calls it the marriage feast here in verse 9, but isn't that like the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Trumpets, which is the marriage feast, which is the 7 years of tribulation? And that doesn't that represent the tribulation?
The wedding?
Isn't it during the marriage feast? During the tribulation, isn't that basically the length of the tribulation? I don't know. You said thought I knew, but I'm not sure I do.
Yeah, the wedding itself.
Yeah.
What is that?
Isn't that the marriage feast and the marriage supper?
Well, no, there's two different ones. Where the marriage feast is like Missy was talking about. The feast itself is the 7 years of tribulation.
Yeah.
But the wedding, go ahead, Missy.
I'm sorry. The feast is, you know, to make it through, you got to eat the Lord's food. To make it through the tribulation, you gotta be sitting at the Lord's table, eating His food, His word.
Okay. All right, that's what who determines gets married, right? Or does it? That's already been determined, right? Shake your head. Yeah, it's. Oh, help me, Jesus. Oh, my. It's like pulling teeth out of a rooster sometimes. You know what I'm talking about? The wedding, of course, is the bride and Jesus. We know that. The wedding feast is the bride has already been picked at this time, right? So now we're going to see who the guests are. Who's going to be the friend? Who's going to be the what's the rest of them?
Bridesmaids.
Yeah. All the rest of them. And I believe that's what he's talking about there. Was filled with guests. And he going down, what happened at the last there? He said, when the king came in to behold the guests, that's what he's talking about up here, he saw there a man who had not owned a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And the guy was speechless. Then the king said to the servant, bind him hand and foot, cast him out in the outer darkness. That's the once saved, always saved people. You know, that's the people who got one foot in the kingdom and one foot the lukewarm. That's the people that are lukewarm going in there. As far as the bad and good, it could be the Jews and the Gentiles, but they are the saved, the born again people of God. I believe that's what he's talking about. Does anybody not believe that? Or got something else? Yeah, Andrew.
So what you're telling me is if there are these guys, like you said, the ones who put their foot in the door there, the once saved, always saved people, these are the people in the first three lands of the four lands of the parable of the sower?
That's the tares.
Yeah, as the tares?
Yeah.
They didn't bear any fruit? They're not in the good land?
They're not bearing fruit. They can't bear fruit because they don't know what the fruit is. Yeah. Does that make sense to anybody? Okay, moving right along. What else? And then that last verse there kind of sums it up. For many are called, but few are chosen. And that's what we have. And that's why God is fixing to shake this whole world. I saw a prophecy today by Byron Searles or something like that somebody had sent me. And he says, and I think this guy's British, I'm not sure, but he says that the Lord told him that there was judgment coming on America, just like there was in Russia when Chernobyl went up. You remember that? Melted down. And then Fukushima in Japan. I don't know if you know it, Chernobyl, he called it the wormwood prophecy because of Chernobyl means wormwood, and Fukushima means something else similar to that. I don't know what it was, but anyway. And he says it's going to happen in America, that earthquakes are going to open up these. I know probably most of y'all know this, that most of the nuclear reactors in the U.S. are situated on fault lines. Most of them are. We've got 7 dams up and down the Tennessee River here. I don't know how many, what is it, 2 or 3 of them, I think, are nuclear. And he specifically mentioned Tennessee, and he also specifically mentioned Oklahoma sites that would go off, you know. But he was talking about the whole country would be under this nuclear fallout, so to speak. But he did say this. He said, and my people will be covered. My people will be protected, those who are abiding in him. And so that's something else we can think about, put on the plate, right, so to speak. I don't know Byron Searles. I've heard a couple of his prophecies. I don't know much about him other than what people have showed me. So I don't know what his record is. All right, anything else? We got just a couple of more minutes. Somebody wants to talk about something else. Yeah, Missy.
I want to ask Barbara something.
You want to ask Barbara? Her? Oh, Barbara. Oh, there she is. Okay.
Hey, Barbara.
Yeah. Yeah, can you hear me?
She probably doesn't have. Hey, can I? Do you know how to share stuff? I want to share that picture today of Jackson.
Oh yeah, go ahead. I don't know how to do that.
What do you think?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I figured so. Yeah, I want to share that. It's I want y'all to see how adorable this little guy is.
This is the one we prayed for.
Oh shoot!
For,
right? Okay.
Yeah, he's now 5 months, or I'm sorry, 5 pounds.
There he is. Praise the Lord.
And he adorable.
Boy, he got a, that boy's got a head of hair, doesn't he? Good gracious.
Yeah.
He is so sweet. So what did Sarah say about share with everybody? Maybe we can pray for him and Bruce.
Well, yeah, well, let's pray for him. He's not coming home now until I think the first week of January, they're saying now, because he's still on oxygen. Even though he is 5 pounds, that he's still on oxygen, and I'm not sure. Well, I don't know the D stat. I'm not sure. I don't understand what that means. But whenever he's feeding. It's not real major, but he can't keep up or something with the D-stat, and that's why they have to still keep him on oxygen. I guess he gets excited. I'm not sure. I can't explain it. I can't explain it.
Well, it just basically has to do with this tube that's going into his nose is a feeding tube. He doesn't take a bottle yet, I guess.
Well, no, like when he's feeding, I guess it raises his heart rate or something.
It does mine, too.
Yeah, he sure looks happy.
Yeah. Well, we can pray for all that, and and also Bruce and everybody. Pray in agreement for Bruce or whatever. So anyway, did you catch everything she said, Michael?
We can pray. Yeah. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we look up Jackson to you. Lord, that's such a cute little old baby. Getting bigger every day, too, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that you are restoring every organ in his body, just like it was new, Lord. And we thank you that this tube business is gone. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, that whatever they're calling it on him, we break that curse right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that boy can suck on a bottle with the best of them in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, that Jackson is healed, delivered, and set free from the doctors in Jesus' name, that he won't have to go back now another time in the name of Jesus, because we give him to you, Lord. I do. I'm going to give him to you, Lord. That's your baby now. In Jesus' name, I don't know if I can do that, but I can sure try to pray it. Father, I thank you that Jackson is going to be yours all the way. In Jesus' name. Y'all believe that?
Yeah.
Look at that smile that boy got.
Could you pray for my daughter, Sarah, the mother of this little boy? She's going through that postpartum depression thing where she...
I don't believe it.
I don't either. I think it's a demon.
Right.
I just think it's a demon. But could we just pray for her? She's really feeling. Well, first of all, I just want to cast that spirit off of her in the name of Jesus. That postpartum depression. I cast that off of her, and she is not under the curse. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you're bringing her. You're drawing her closer to you. She also asked me to pray for her that she would have a hunger for the Lord, because I told her she needs to get in the Word, because we figured she has like a mental ascent faith. She doesn't have the real faith. And I told her, you need to be in the Word of God. And she said, I need to pray for a deeper hunger for that, she said. So, Lord, you heard her say that, and I pray that for her, Lord, and she would have a hunger for you, Father, and she would run after you boldly, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Lord, I thank you for placing that upon her, Lord,
yes,
that she would, you would place on her a hunger for the Word like she's never experienced before. And that every time she opens that book, it's going to be like a neon sign, the things that you want her to know, Lord.
Yes,
she'll read it, and she'll just get so excited that she can't put it down. And Lord, I thank you that Sarah is coming in a mighty way, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Father. Yes, amen.
I'd like to pray something for Jackson, because I know babies that are separated from their mama because of him, of a premature situation, having to be in the hospital.
Mm.
That's an open door for things. Mm. And I just want to pray against that. And I would just want to pray that he has no ill effects to that, in Jesus' name. We just pray off. We forbid any abandonment spirit, separation,
yes,
anxiety,
rejection.
Right. Rejection in the name of Jesus. We command all this off this little baby, and that he is going to be a happy baby.
Yes.
He is a happy baby. And that he has no ill effects from everything that he's been through. We rebuke pharmakia spirits off of him, and that when he goes home, that there is going to be absolutely no issues from there on out, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And I break every word curse that they spoke over him, too. They told Sarah today, when she had that meeting with the doctor, they told Sarah that he can't be like normal babies, and he won't be able to be in a bouncer. He won't be able to be in a walker. He won't be able to be in any of those things that you put your baby in, if due to muscle, because he didn't develop that in the womb. Muscle, something about the muscle stiffening or coordinating, because in the womb, you know, they move their muscles and kick and all that, and he didn't get a chance to do that because they pulled him out early. So they're speaking that over him, but I just want to break that word curse that he will be like normal babies, in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen. Matter of fact, he's going to be stouter than normal babies. He's going to be a stout young man, in Jesus' name. Lord, we just praise you. There ain't nothing wrong with Jackson other than they're speaking curses on him. Lord, we speak blessings on Jackson. We speak the blessings of the Lord upon him. We speak healing on him. We speak deliverance on him. We speak stoutness in the Lord on him, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
How old is he?
Develop muscles.
He was born November 4th. I'm trying to think.
Is he?
Six weeks now.
Oh, 6 weeks, I mean.
A little over 6 weeks.
Yeah.
But he wasn't supposed to be here. He wasn't even supposed to be born until January 13th. And he came out 2 months early due to complications in my daughter.
Oh, that's because the Lord wanted him out here. He's going to see, we're going to see the glory of the Lord all over this boy.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Okay, let's go to Bruce now. What do we need to pray for him about? Just what we've been praying.
Yeah, he fights lethargic, real lethargic, and just no strength.
Okay.
Lethargic, and I have the monitor on so I can hear him in the other room. And I just pray the Lord take care of him, you know. That lethargic would just come off him.
Okay, in the name of Jesus, we command that lethargic spirit to go from Bruce right now, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for alertness, clarity of mind, and we just praise you, Father, that that's what you're doing in him right now, in Jesus.
And that he'll be able to eat.
And him, well, we've already prayed to thank you, Lord, that he's going to be able to eat from this point on, in Jesus' name. Lord, if he wants to eat a hamburger from Wendy's, that'd be all right. And Father, we thank you for it, in Jesus' name. Or a bologna sandwich from Kroger's. That'd be okay, too. Thank you, Jesus, that Bruce is healed, delivered, and set free by your power, Lord. And we just praise you for the work you're doing in him, in Jesus' name. Hey, Barbara, did you get my message this afternoon?
I did. I haven't had a chance to download it or anything yet.
Okay. Yeah, well, I just want to make sure you got it.
Well, I'm trying to figure out how I could get it for Bruce to put on his phone where he can listen to it or something.
Just download it from the internet.
Yeah, on my computer, but I meant to like put it in his phone. Oh, never mind. I could probably put it on my phone.
So you got a smartphone?
Yeah, an Android.
Yeah. Just connect to your computer through the USB port, and it'll show up on your computer, and you just drag and drop.
You're talking all that techie stuff. I'm not. I don't even. That's important to me.
Just go online. Just go online with his phone. Go online with his phone, and you can pull it up on his phone.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That way.
Download it.
Yeah.
Okay. Missy, you want to?
Yeah. Thank you, Michael.
Yeah. You want to end our share here so we can get back to.
Okay.
He's a good looking kid, though.
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
Amen. Well, Father, we just thank you for another good night tonight. We thank you, Lord, that all our prayers have already been answered. You knew what we was going to pray before we prayed it, Lord, and I thank you that all of them have been answered in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask that you be with us in the days ahead. Keep our mind and our eyes focused on you, Father, abiding in you, Lord, and that we would absolutely surrender all of us, our flesh, our carnal life, and all of that to you, Lord. And we thank you, Father, that we're going to be walking, talking Jesus is here in just a little short while. And Father, we ask for your protection upon us during these times of trials that are coming up. And we thank you, Lord, for being with President Trump, surrounding him with your warrior angels to protect him, because I know that they're going to be trying to take him out. And Father, I just praise you for all you're doing in us as your children, as your sons and daughters of God. And Father, we just ask that you place it in our hearts to keep on praying and to keep on believing. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Well, good night, everybody. And God bless you. It's been a good night. I enjoyed it.
Good night, y'all.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. God bless you.
Good night, Andrew, Leon, Denny, Missy, Willie, Pat, Megan.
Good night.
Good night.
Malcolm.
Bye-bye. Good night.
Good night, Megan. Good night. Amen.
I should say good night.
All right.
See y'all.
All right, buddy. Bless you.